Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 15 through 17 and verses 21 and 22. As I mentioned at the outset, today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, the first Sunday of Epiphany, which was last week. Even though Epiphany is not till the 6th of January, we celebrate the Epiphany Sunday, that first Sunday of the new year. That Sunday, we focused on the arrival of the Magi, the story from Matthew 2. And now we move to the baptism of Jesus, which appears in all of the Gospels, and we'll be reading Luke's version. As I read these words, familiar words, listen for something that's being spoken into your life and into your heart at this particular point on your faith journey. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I'm sure you've already played the game. You know, what's the difference between these two pictures? This sanctuary and the sanctuary from last week or the last few weeks. Oh, the Christmas tree is gone. Yep. The Advent wreath is gone. Wreaths are gone. The green around the window, gone. You know, it seems a bit stripped down, doesn't it? Just in a matter of a week. Well, that's because last Wednesday was the 12th and final day of Christmas. And the 6th, the following day, Thursday, was the first day of Epiphany. So, we move on. Happy Epiphany. All right. Early service folks just looked at me. Happy Epiphany. Perfect. Okay. As I said last week, the word Epiphany just derives from the Greek word epiphania. And that is usually translated something like manifestation or appearance. And kind of the idea behind it in the ancient church, the early church, was when did the world realize the identity of this one, Jesus of Nazareth, and his significance? And again, we read last week from Matthew 2, the Magi coming from a faraway land, they come and they acknowledge the identity of this one born in Bethlehem. This week we talk about the baptism of Jesus, and here you have Jesus coming up out of the water, you have this divine confirmation, you are my son. Or in some versions, "This is my Son, the Beloved." So again, manifestation or appearance of God's Christ. So today, on the 6th of January, Epiphany Day, as well as this whole season of Epiphany, which leads us right up into Shrove Tuesday, and then Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, during this season, we are publicly acknowledging, you know, this is who we are. We are followers of this one whose identity was made manifest back at the baptism or the arrival of Magi. And we talk about how this outpouring of God's grace in this one of Nazareth did not only change the world then, but continues to change the world and impact our lives today. So we gather here this week. We gather every week to try to figure out this Epiphany idea. You know, what does this God thing have to do with me? What does this Christ thing have to do with me? What did this one who was baptized in first century Palestine, what does that one have to do with my life today? You know, it's not just a historical curiosity. That's too easy to dismiss. It's something deeper than that. All right. Last week was Epiphany Sunday. Today's Baptism of the Lord. Today we begin to place ourselves in the Epiphany story. Place ourselves in that. Today Christians around the world are reading the story of Jesus' baptism. the story I read just a moment ago. You know, in it, Jesus comes to John at the Jordan River and is baptized. And we gather, but it's not just about that. It goes beyond that, right? As I said ago, it's not only about Jesus' baptism, it's about our baptism. And it's not just about Jesus' identity, as in, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son." It's not only about that. It's also about our identity. And Paul put it this way. For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and we're all made to drink of the one Spirit. The challenge facing us, always facing us in this place, is how to put these ancient concepts into words that have meaning for us today. You know, so profound ideas like epiphany can be conduits of meaning rather than just a historical curiosity. Because as great as things like that, as great as it is to read about these ancient events, there may be interesting, but rarely, as I say, are they life transforming. Today we gather. For the whole season we gather to celebrate the manifestation of Christ and what it means to follow Christ. You know, that is loving others, putting others' interests ahead of our own, humility, grace, extending forgiveness, embracing personal transformation. You know, what does it mean to follow Christ like that, where it leads to a life of meaning and a life of wholeness? You know, epiphany is where things get real. Epiphany is where, you know, where things get serious. Advent's exciting, no doubt about it. The decorations are beautiful, lights everywhere, music, great food. Christmas magical. You know, I said it's mystically revelatory. But now it's epiphany. Now it's epiphany. Epiphany's real. It's like January 2nd. You got to go back to work. Oh, yeah. When did you have that epiphany? When did you have it? Not yet? That's okay. That's why we're here. Welcome to Epiphany. All right. You know, it would be my guess that many of us, well, I know many of us, but maybe most of us, possibly every one of us, but probably not, at some point in our lives have been baptized into the body of Christ. You know, maybe it's when we were an infant, or maybe it was a little bit later in our lives when we made our first public profession of faith. In the United Methodist Church, we baptize folks of all ages. And we understand that baptism is a sacrament. And by that, we mean it's an act through which God's grace is imparted to the recipient. You know, it's not purely a subjective act in our tradition, in that it is dependent upon our comprehension. Because in reality, who is able to comprehend the grace of God? I don't think many, if at all. You know, it's an outward and a physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. It's one of the great mysteries of our faith, baptism is. As the Apostle Paul says it, and I noted earlier, as many of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Theologian Walter Brueggemann has written an incredible number of amazing books. His academic specialty was Hebrew Scriptures. But one thing he talks about as far as the church goes, he says that the number one challenge facing the church is amnesia. He says that we've forgotten our story. We've forgotten whose we are. And he says the great danger of that, he says, is that if we've forgotten that, we allow others to tell us who we are. If we've forgotten our story, we allow others to tell us our story, like the culture. Instead of coming together and tell the story, we let someone else tell us a story that then claims our identity for us. He says that's the danger. So friends, the goal of Epiphany is remembrance. Remembering who we are as members of the community called the body of Christ. We've been baptized. We've been named. You remember, well, maybe you don't remember. When I was younger, when a when a child was baptized, the clergy person would say, what name has been given this child? I don't know if you remember that. And you would say the name, the family would say the name, and then you would baptize them in that name. And sometimes in certain traditions, you would take on an additional name. It was it's called christening, Christ naming. You take on a new identity at that point. You are named, you're incorporated into the community that identifies with and attempts to live out the story of Jesus. Okay, listen to this. Listen to parts of the baptismal liturgy. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus the Christ. Or how about this? Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, centuries ago, Christians, especially those in the Anglican tradition or heirs of that tradition, of which we are one tradition, began using the beginning of a year as a time to encourage individuals to re-examine their lives of faith and then offer them a time for reaffirmation or recommitment to God and to the church. So in a few minutes, we'll continue that tradition by holding a service of baptismal renewal. As I said during the announcements, typically you would walk down front, we'd pour water over an object like a rock or a shell or sea glass, something like that. And I would reach into the bowl and I would hand you a wet object to remind you of your identity, that you are a baptized member of the body of Christ. And then the idea behind that, you would take that stone, as in the case today, as you have in your possession now, or you would take the shell and you'd place it somewhere. Somewhere prominent in your life. And so every day you see it. And then every time you see it, you say, oh yeah, I remember. I am part of the body of Christ. And then you go out the door into your life. And that should impact who you are when you remember who you are. How you interact with your brothers and sisters. Your fellow human beings. Your fellow children of God. Well, today you were given this stone in advance. And so in a few minutes, though, we will again, though, reaffirm our faith and our commitment to Christ and to ministries in this place as we remember that baptism. So today we pause to remember that defining story. Today we remember, in the words of Paul, that we have put on Christ. And that's a big idea. That's a huge idea. And it's grounded in something as simple as baptism. Friends, we are children of God, brothers and sisters. This relationship supersedes all others. It's a new identity. The baptism idea is that radical. It's not just some cute thing we do with a baby and we laugh and we celebrate that. No, no, no. When we baptize, we reconstitute the body of Christ. And we continue the struggle to understand who we are as a result of our baptism. What it means to be marked and claimed by God. So today, remember that baptism lies at the very heart of who you are. Remember that today. Celebrate that today. Be empowered by that. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen.